Hello and welcome to another episode of the Talking Heads podcast with me, Lucy Chamberlain.
And me, Saul Walker.
The smell of the spring is in the air. The days are lengthening and the good old British weather brings days of jumpers and gloves or t-shirts and shorts. But whether sun or rain, the 2023 garden season has truly begun.
Spring is the starter gun for many when it comes to the garden. The garden centres and nurseries are full of new plants. Barely a week goes by when the new wave of colour fills the garden from snowdrops through to daffodils and then on to tulips. In our respective gardens, both at work and home, it's all hands on deck as the spring months whistle by.
This podcast brings you along on those horticultural adventures as Saul and I ply our trade, bringing our best laid plans to fruition. Whether toiling in the borders, hiding in the woodland groves, tending the vegetable gardens or enjoying a leisurely drive on our tractors.
So if you want to join that adventure, tune in every week to look into the busy and exciting world of the modern head gardener.
So they've let us out.
Where are we? My God.
I know, we've been let free.
We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto.
No, we're in the New Forest. We are at the Gardener's World Spring Fair. It's the last day. We're halfway through our tours. We're having a lovely little sit down under a beautiful rose arbor. Oh, do you know, it's nice to take the weight off your feet.
We've been at it this. It's a bit different this year. Last year, you'll remember, we were doing these tours, but this year we've been unleashed on the stages, haven't we?
Yeah, we've been elevated only in a graphical sense because we're up off the floor onto the stage, but we've been elevated onto the stage this year. You have done one day on the stage.
I was on Friday, yes.
I was then on the Saturday. And then today, which is the Sunday, we are now back in our...
traditional.
Our traditional habitat, which is the walled gardens of beauty. But yeah, I liked the stage experience. It was great. Actually, having an audience, rather than the virtual one, which we have on the podcast.
It's a bit different, just the two of us, isn't it?
You know, audience is rather lovely.
Yeah, with good... 40, 50 people?
Yeah. So Regent are sponsoring the magazine stage that we were on. So
The cruise firm.
So we did a nice talk about gardens of the world. And then I spoke to Patrick Fairweather of Fairweather Garden Centres and Chris Collins from Garden Organic.
I've done Rosie from Hardy Cottage Plants. We had a really good discussion on peat free. I've got to say, actually, one of the themes that's been running through this whole thing is we've been talking a lot about composts.
Yes.
People are thinking about them, aren't they?
It's good. Actually, they are thinking about them because the deadline's been set. But it's nice. I think now the results of Kelvin's peat-free trials in the lean-to greenhouse that we've been showing people are really encouraging. So there are formulations out there that are doing very, very well. I also spoke, and I think you did as well, Charles Carr.
From Hilliers.
Yeah. And I went, my claim to fame for speaking to Charles, I always like to speak to these guys before we go up on the stage. And I went to Rittle College with James Hillier. So hello, James, if you're out. Well, yeah, I know you are still out there. And you still work for Hilliers. So that's a sign of a good family firm.
Do you know, I did well. I think I'm quite a draw for plants. I had the...
Mr. Modesty.
I had the Delia Smith effect on his lavenders. We had this really good discussion about lavenders. And then he sold out in 20 minutes.
Oh, the Saul effect.
Hey?
There you go.
Saul effect.
The Saul effect.
We've also
both had, which has been a lovely, unexpected pleasure. So Kelvin's got a souped-up gator, which can hit 40 miles an hour if you find the right spot.
That is not traditionally how much a gator should have as a max
and
speed.
And he hasn't been doing that whilst we've been having people on site, obviously. But we've been hearing the rumours. And, so I had a trip in on Kelvin's gator this morning. Which was very enjoyable. You had a trip with him yesterday because you brought in some gingers, including...
Devon Cream.
Yeah, including Devon Cream. Nope. So Saul's doing his plant swapping, as he loves to do.
Yeah, I've got some Musella lasiocarpa, or Musa lasiocarpa, so the golden lotus banana in exchange, and some rhodochitons. I haven't done very well with my rhodochiton seed this year. Lovely little flower, like a little bell flower. Lovely little thing.
Yeah. So that was Kelvin's tip, wasn't it?
That was his tip. Kelvin's very good at producing all these plants, so... Yeah. Yeah. I might just stop sowing rhodochiton and come to Bewley every year. and talking about coming to Bewley every year, so this is our second year doing this. And what's interesting is the difference in what we're looking at. We're in the ornamental garden at the moment. And I've got to say, the flowering is completely different this year to last year. And it's exactly the same weekend, exactly the same time of year.
Yep.
Magnolias still in flower, rhododendrons still in flower, but nothing else.
Wisteria's just coming into flower, but not frustratingly so. It's 3 weeks late compared to this time last year. And we all know that the spring has been slow to wake up this year. And yeah, it's evident. It's very evident here at Bewley. But saying that, everything's looking lovely, lush, and abundant, as it always does. Kelvin's team do such a great job of prepping the garden before the show. There's so many hours goes into the prep. So if you ever come to any of these wonderful garden shows, do appreciate what's happened before
You've
actually walked over the show entrance.
And we're going to have a chat with Kelvin in the greenhouse a bit later. So listen to that later in the podcast. Yeah, I think the show itself, which isn't, we're in the gardens part of the grounds now, and obviously the motor museum's over there if you like your triumphs.
Oh yes,
Triumph
I do.
Stag, whatever it is, but the showground is actually just over on another part of the ground, and it's expanded this year. They've got 31 nurseries; they only had 24 last year. More gardens, more food.
I did walk through the food area yesterday, and it was fatal because it was at the end of the day, and I was starving. So I.
Sure, we could do a food podcast, I always thought, if we really,
I'd be up for
if
that.
This gardening never works out,
oh, yeah.
Garden malarkey never works out. But yeah, the show's looking really great. We have benefited from some nice weather as well today. We just had a rain shower, but it's still pleasant, but there seems to be a really good vibe in there. People, I think what's happened this year is we've had a long winter in some ways, and it's sort of permeated into the spring. Horrible March, April's not been much better.
People are ready for this.
People are ready for actually getting out and buying plants. I know Mike from Potash, who sells fuchsias and pelargoniums, he's come with his pelargoniums. He's been selling hotcakes because everyone's lost them over the winter.
I know, we were chatting to him at the exhibitors' drinks, and because we do get to go to these lovely swanky things at the shows. And yeah, he was a happy man, wasn't he?
Most of the nurseries are happy. Kitchen Garden Plants, which is a newish nursery, they've run out. They've been back once, they've run out again. They can't actually get anything, so he's sort of selling all his stock off. A nurseryman is very happy if he goes from a show and his van is considerably lighter
than when
he came.
Those empty Danish trolleys bring a smile to their face, don't they? So we're having our lunch break. In a minute, we've got three more tours this afternoon. Is it
three,
and 4 o'clock? Come 4 o'clock, there's going to be a ceremonious cracking open of, I think there might be a G&T, there might be a beer. Because we've talked and talked and talked over these 3 days. You know us, we like a talk. We do like to go on. But actually, I think I might have hit my threshold by 4:30, which is the last moment on this show where I need to speak. I might just be about done.
Well, we'll hold a few words now because we're going to have a look at the vegetable garden just for a few minutes in a bit.
Yeah.
Got to talk to Kelvin, and hopefully we'll bring you a few highlights of us waffling on to the public as we go through this podcast. But if you haven't been to Bewley as a garden, you should come, whether the show's on or not. If the show is on, that's particularly good. We'll enjoy this. This is us out of our gardens, actually meeting people, seeing the public. It's quite nice to see
waving to the public in the monorail.
Oh, the monorail.
Which really winds Kelvin up on the tours. Because I think after 30 years for him, the monorail novelty is worn off. But for me, I'm very excited when I see people go past 20 foot up in the air and I wave at them frantically and he just looks to the heavens. So officially, Kelvin, so many apologies for doing that on every single tour.
So Lucy will be installing a monorail at East Donnelland Hall before we know it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, it's nice been out. So let's head over to the war garden and have a look at the actual some of the veggies and some of the things going on in the greenhouse, shall we?
Let's do it.
We've come into the warmth of the greenhouse because we're meeting with the chap who runs the place and who we've been enjoying the company of. Thanks for the cake. Kelvin, isn't it? Kelvin, the head gardener at Bewley. You all right?
Hello.
Lovely to see you again, Kelvin. Do you know what? When we came here last year, you and your team were so hospitable and lovely to us and made us copious cups of tea and looked after us. And we're very grateful for that. And we're back here again. Gardens are looking fantastic, as are the ornamental gardens. So hats off to you and your team. How are you finding the show experience? Because it's a bit of a there's a lot of people around and there's lots of noise and excitement. Do you enjoy that kind of thing?
I think it's nice to have people in that enjoy the garden, that are, you know, keen on gardening, and you know, there's a buzz around the show. It's really nice.
And the kitchen garden's your baby, isn't it, in some ways? We should say you've been here for a few decades now, 30 years?
Just over 30 years.
Yeah, you came as a journeyman, stayed in the bothy, and you sort of didn't go again. So
I'm not quite that old, but yeah. But we have got a garden bothy here that's built into the wall from those periods, yes.
Yeah, and the kitchen garden used to be a lot smaller than it is now, and you've really expanded it over the years, haven't you?
Yeah, tiny. Yeah, what do you think, about an acre we got?
At the moment, probably about an acre, over an acre. Yeah, but it used to be quite small, didn't it?
Oh, tiny, tiny little area. But yeah, we expanded it and we've turned it into what we call a Victorian vegetable garden. And we've got a vine house and we've got a big greenhouse, water feature. And we've now got a garden bothy that we might talk about later, perhaps.
We have been standing in the bothy. So what Kelwyn and I have been doing for this show, and also then Saul and Dan, we've been giving the public tours of various areas of the garden. So Kelwyn and I are in charge of the kitchen garden tours, and Saul and Dan have been doing the ornamental garden
tours. Definitely have, yes.
Yeah. And, so we're standing in a lovely lean-to greenhouse on the south-facing side of the kitchen garden, adorned by... We've got black Hamburg grapes, we've got Muscat of Alexandria grapes, we've got peaches and nectarines. It's a wonderful setting. The tours, I think, have been going really well. What do you enjoy that kind of thing, Kelwyn?
Yeah, Dan and I have really enjoyed the tours, and we're picking up tips from you all the time.
For you.
And I'd just like to thank Dan for all his time and efforts here at Bewley in the Gardens. He's been superb. And he's leaving today. This is his last day. I managed to get him to stay on to do the tours, and apparently he's quite keen to come back next year to help us again. So that'd be, you know, nice continuity for us all.
Oh, it'd be nice to see Dan again. I have enjoyed. I haven't managed to do much of the tours with him. Today is my only day with him, so I feel sorry that his last day is with me. You know, it's not everyone's best last day. But you know, I'm going to be doing the ornamental. I've been doing a bit of kitchen, and we've also been on stage, haven't we? So he's been. I think he's a very unassuming guy, but actually he has quite a lot of knowledge stuck up there, and he's quite. I think he's going to find it quite hard. I know I would find it hard to leave my garden. I think he's going to find that quite hard to leave it there. He speaks with it with much affection.
Mm, yeah, Dan's done an awful lot of work in there. You know, we've teamed up to do, you know, the new herbaceous borders, and you know, Dan's redone some of the rhododendron areas and things. He's been in and out of Bewley for a few years, but he's been really good at the gardening. It's a bit sad to see him go in some respects, but people got to move on.
Mm. Yeah, they have. And so I wish Dan all the luck in the world for his new endeavours. I was just chatting to Dan this morning because I got here a little bit early, and I realised that he worked at Ingatestone for a while, the garden there, and I went to Riddle College, so we had a connection there. And then also he's got family connection like me on Valley, and right. I lived there for a while, and then I've spoken to Kelwyn, and we all lived in the same area. Do you know what I love about coming to Bewley, and all when we go onto any gardening estate, it's so nice to see like-minded people.
Absolutely.
And coming here and just integrating with the garden team and talking about kitchen gardens and ornamental gardens and being paid for it is a real treat. And I have noticed also that Dan's leaving cake is a Gordon gin and lemon cake. So
the new are coming, Lucy.
I can hardly say it without salivating. I'm all over that. I just want to say as well, so Kelvin's a very modest man, but this garden here that he's been in charge of for a little while, I think the when you hear him explain on these tours about what he's actually initiated, such as the restoration of the greenhouses, the bothy, which we can talk about in a moment, the development of this whole garden. Hats off to you for doing that. You're a lovely, unassuming gentleman, but actually you've got a real drive to you. It's lovely to see. So you know, thank you for inviting us to your garden to do this. The bothy we'll talk about now, because that was a project that you started last year. So tell us about the thinking behind that and what's actually happened.
Well, you know, we're big on organics here, or I am anyway. But, you know, we like to try and save things, renew things with old. So there was a children's play area built 3 years ago, just before COVID, and there was some material left over from that. Interesting bits of wood, so we thought we'll save all those. And we, this year, eventually managed to start work on building the bothy. So all of that timber was used for the structural areas. And then a friend of mine works closely in the New Forest with some timber merchants, and he pulled out some timber, some pine, and he processed that for me. And we've used that for all the boarding and planking and roof materials. But we use a Japanese technique for burning the timber. And through that, you get more fire retardants. You don't get boring insects going into it. Fungal blooms and things like that don't get on it. And it makes it more waterproof, more hardy. And I'm hoping for, like, you know, 15 years out of it, but you never know. So we'll see on that. But it does give it a really interesting look, doesn't it? And
well, and also there's little fine details, like you've actually cut little bits into the timber, little diamonds, which reflect the embolism of the estate itself. But there's something else going on there as well, isn't there?
Yes. I did see a programme about a famous land artist, American land artist, and they used great big concrete tubes, which they had to make in those days themselves, and they aligned those with the summer and winter solstice lines, and they put them out in the desert. But they also did, and this is what got my little idea going, was they drilled holes in the concrete so they could look up at the star constellations at certain times of the year and you'd see them. And this is just a take on that. And when the sun comes out certain times of the day, there'll be this little set of diamonds on the floor in the light, which is quite nice. And people probably won't notice it, but I'm sure they will now when they come and look. And we've got a pottage garden either side, and Saul's got some interesting thoughts on that.
Do you know, it's nice because the Victorian kitchen garden is quite, it's got that commercial look, like all big kitchen gardens, but actually that corner has a nice potager look with the ornamentals mixed with the vegetables. And I think it's nice because the visitors want to come and see things they can do at home, and actually seeing that sustainable, quite actually, you know, not heavily priced with the potters, quite nice. Now, what I recommend is you come to Bewley, because it is more than just a motor museum. Walk past the motor museum, walk underneath that monorail, and then go and see the gardens that Kelvin and his team have got set up here, and also the meadows. You know, we haven't even talked about the meadows that look beautiful early in the season. So either come next year to one of our plant tours. I'm sure we're going to be doing these for another 30 years, Kelvin. Hey, we'll see how it goes. More buildings will be erected at some point, I'm sure, by his team. He's shaking his head vigorously there.
The pressure is now on, isn't it?
But yeah, come any time of year and see the beautiful gardens. It is a bit more than the other attractions. And thank you, Kelvin, for hosting us.
Yeah, well, do you know, Saul, I can see Nikki is unlocking the greenhouse because the tour, they are just about to start. So we all need to crack on, wet our whistles and get ourselves ready for the gardening public. So, yeah, lovely to speak to you, Kelvin. Thank you.
Thank you. And obviously, being a vine house, we've got some vines. And those are, the ones at either end are the original plants, we think. Yeah, and that's Muscat of Alexandria. It's one of the oldest grapes known. They're not sure exactly where it came from. Some people say Africa, some people say...
Also, I want to urge you, because as I say, I think greenhouses are so useful, but they also take up quite a lot of garden space. Don't just use them in the summer, use them in the winter months as well. We've got coriander here, which is fully hardy. We've got mustard red frills, hardy lettuce, chicory, endive, hardy annual spinach, things like Swiss chard as well. Landcress, komatsuna, mizuna, all these salad leaves are fully hardy and they can be grown in your greenhouse throughout the winter months.
Right, we've made it to the Victorian kitchen garden where Lucy's been plying her trade and showing people all the lovely stuff. And it is, again, same as the ornamental garden, isn't it? We're at least 2-3 weeks back, probably, on the... Well, most of the stuff's still in the greenhouse.
We are, but we've got the lovely greenhouses to talk about, which have been quite a focal point of the tour. Yeah.
They're beautiful. There's loads going on in there. I see tomatoes, I see chilies, I see all kinds of herbs. I know Kelvin's very keen on his herbs. He likes to talk about how many herbs he plants and growing them over winter as well.
Yes, I have been banging on about that for anyone who's been paying for these tours, about the importance of not just using your greenhouse for summer, but for winter. So, yeah.
The space is there, use it.
Hardy salads. Don't just shove your bike in the greenhouse at winter. Use it for all sorts of lovely hardy crops. And people seem quite excited and inspired by that. It's not just a tomato space, it's a hardy salad space. Do you know what? There's another black looking. I have seen so many blackbirds around here because they're an organic garden here at Bewley.
Right.
And slugs and snails are not a massive problem. There's a load of hostas around the bottom north end of the kitchen garden. They are virtually unblemished by slug and snail activity. And I think it's because of those little tinkers. Look at them.
He's going for it, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's around the asparagus bed at the moment.
Mm.
I think Kelvin needs to get out with his asparagus knife.
Oh, don't. Poor man, he's been so busy. The team have been so busy, they haven't had time to cut it. So forgive him for that, because it's about 1.5 feet high. But I think their attention's been elsewhere, Saul.
We're having to restrain Lucy from nibbling the ends off. The other thing we've been talking about a lot, I don't know if you've been in yours, but we've definitely been talking about it in the ornamental garden, is mulch. Now, that's a big word on this podcast. Mulch. We've gone about it too much, don't we? But they use something I've used at Stonelands. Mm. I don't know if you've used it at East Donland. Mm. They've got this product called Strolch. I don't know if I've mentioned it before on this podcast, but if not, I'm mentioning it again. It's straw mulch. It's a mineralised straw product that they get sort of a byproduct from the farming industry. Then they mineralise it, and that gives it longevity. And then they use it as a mulch. And it almost, you know, it does a fantastic job of combating the weeds and sort of sealing in the moisture. I quite like it.
It looks like, if you've ever walked through a coniferous or pine kind of like woodland, it looks like the needle mulch you'd get from that, because it is straw, but it's actually a really dark, rich brown colour. And yeah, we've been talking about it on the tours because it's a fantastic weed suppressant. And I'm going to mention Kelvin's advice here, because he's found that if you leave it for a few weeks to months, it starts to develop a little hard cap on the surface, which actually means it stays in place. Okay. And so it can actually be laid down and left there for a good couple of years.
Yeah, 2 years, Kelvin was telling me this stuff last one. I think I found the same at Stonelands. Only problem is it has no nutritional value. It's not going to add any body to the soil.
Keeps down those pesky annual weeds.
And you can feed, can't you? You can just stick down a bone meal, bloodfish on bone, something like that.
Yeah, you can.
Just do it. And I know we used it, and the only thing the owner didn't like is it doesn't have that dark, crumbly look that soil does. You know, when you mulch with a nice green waste compost or something like that, the borders sort of sing. But, you know, it looks a bit like straw, to be honest.
So it does.
I think it's quite nice.
Yeah. The kitchen garden is just starting to come into blossom. We've got some apples and some pears and some cherries in full blossom at the moment, and there's still a little bit of movement to be had later on. But it's such a lovely space. And I've been talking to people about where to position their plants in the kitchen garden. I really still so strongly believe, because I've seen it at the East London Hall and also here at Pewdie, that put your plants in the right place. So that's been the main emphasis of what I've been talking about. So we've got some lovely dessert grapes and figs and sweet honeyed greengages and sweet cherries in the massive, huge, bigger than mine, big lean-to greenhouse against the south-facing wall of the kitchen garden. And and then for the shadier parts, we've been talking about things like rhubarb, plants that don't mind that kind of like slightly shady aspect. So tartar fruits like gooseberries and currants, they're happy in the sage. So that's been my overall message that I've been trying to drive home to people. Position your crops in the right place. Use your greenhouse in the winter as well as the summer. Oh, here comes the monorail. I'm going
to
wave.
Yeah, let's wave to the monorail. Let's see if anyone waves back. Yes,
oh,
waving.
We've got to wave back. Do you know what? That's been
the
highlight.
Thank you, people.
I love doing this because, Kelvin, that's
good. It's good. We're coming to the end now, and we've had a lovely... We're a bit tired. Lucy is flagging a little.
I've literally hit a wall about 10 minutes ago. Apologies.
Yeah. So that does happen after, 18 tours, being on stage, talking constantly.
But I need a custard cream.
We do need a custard cream. Good segue there, because that's exactly where I was going.
Pull that out of the bag.
We've got a couple of people to thank. It wouldn't be Lucy and Saul on tour with the Talking Heads podcast without a few of our regular listeners coming in to see us and bringing us some biscuits.
Fantastic, gorgeous people. I can kiss you all.
So we're going to say a massive thank you to Jessica.
Yes.
Alex.
Yes.
And Zen.
Uh-huh.
Who came in with biscuits.
Oh.
It was really nice.
Not just biscuits, the right biscuits.
Yes. Custard creams, hobnobs, chocolate hobnobs. Sorry, must make sure that gets in there. But also it was nice, Alex especially, it was really nice to talk to you about prospectively becoming a gardener. I know you're thinking about a career change and... I'm just going to reiterate what I said, do it, because you will not regret being in this kind of environment, learning from people like Kelvin, from other head gardeners around the world. So if you're thinking about becoming a gardener, take that step and do it. Anyway, we better say goodbye. We got a couple more tours to do?
Two more tours to do, and then I'm going to have the joys of the M25 on a Sunday evening. But thank goodness it's a bank holiday Monday the next day, so I'm hoping the traffic, please be kind to me. Please be kind.
I'm going to be dodging caravans on the way down to Cornwall. But again, I'm hoping that they've already gone and I'm going to be clear. But yeah, we're back to normal. Well, actually, I'm on holiday. So you're going to be...
I'm going to be doing the podcast next week solo. So apologies for that. Or look forward to that, depending on your opinion of me.
I have a feeling vegetables may be involved.
Me? No, but we must say thank you so much to Kelvin and his team.
Absolutely.
So we've got Kelvin and Dan, who have been on the tour with, but also Jane, his wife, Nikki, who's been doing amazing cups of tea, and they've been keeping us really well fed and watered. So thank you so much. We massively appreciate it.
And just everyone, visit Bewley at some point. Lovely,
yes.
Lovely position in the New Forest. Bewley's a beautiful garden. You've got Exbury down the road if you love your roses and your camellias. It's a lovely part of the world to take a little bit of a holiday. See all the donkeys and the cows and the horses roaming through the moorland. But definitely come down and visit Bewley and see all of Kelvin and his team's hard work. And we will see you, or Lucy will, on the next episode of Talking Heads. That brings us to the end of today's episode. We hope you enjoyed listening and look forward to you joining us again for the next instalment. If you'd like to contact myself or Lucy, we're free to chat on our social media platforms. I'm on Twitter at Gardening Saul, and Lucy is on both Twitter and Instagram at HeadGardenerLC. Any review you'd like to leave via your podcast provider would be gratefully received.
The Joy of Spring in the Head Gardener's Heart is an exciting bookend to the start of many months of gardening, making the horticultural world in which we live and work both exciting and fulfilling. So join us every week as we sow seeds, mow lawns, do a little or a lot of weeding, and bring you, our loyal listeners, a peek behind our gardening curtains.
And so, until the next episode of Talking Heads,
goodbye!